told the pastor 2 weeks ago that I thought I had a really neat New Year's resolution message to share, if he was interested in letting me do so. Little did he know how prophetic he was being. He chose this day, the day that when he's under the weather and someone had to take his place anyhow. So kudos to him for being so prophetic. 2020, I thought it would never get here. I'll explain that to y'all. In 1980-81, I was a senior in high school. And I tried really hard to forget almost everything from my school days. I was a little less than a dedicated student. My favorite subject was playing hooky. And I did, however, do just enough to get passing grades to be sure and certain I didn't need to take the same grade over again, because basically my goal in school was simply this, to get out of school. And I'm not proud of that. I should have studied harder and made more of myself. But nevertheless, the one class that came easy for me without any effort was English, anything related to English and vocabulary and writing and literature classes. I always made sure that I took as many of those classes as I was permitted, because that came easy for me with no effort. And I'll never forget my senior year in the class of short story and novel. We were given an assignment. In 1980-81, we were given an assignment to write a short story on what the world would be like in 2020. And I would like to say that I was a prophetic young man, like my pastor, and I wrote this grand story depicting exactly how we now see the world in 2020. But I have to be perfectly honest with you. I completed that assignment, and I cannot tell you one word that I wrote. I have no memory of any part of it. This one thing I remember. I remember this part of the whole ordeal. I remember when the teacher gave us the assignment to write a story on what we thought the world would be like in 2020. I remembered thinking to myself, who can even think that far into the future? But here we are. So once upon a time, indeed, I really thought this was a time that was beyond my realm of thinking. And I thought it would never get here. And here we are. So no matter what you think of the time span it took from a point in your life to 2020, I'm sure it's a little different than mine. I know most people think it just goes so fast. I argue with a certain individual, there's 24 hours in every day and it never changes. But he begs to differ, not on that subject, but on many others. But nevertheless, my message is a New Year's resolution message. I don't know how big you are on resolutions. I know Jed's pretty strict about it. I'm sure he resolved to hit the gym this year and hasn't missed a day yet, or something. Yeah, he run into it with his car. Yeah, but I was never real big on them myself. At some point in time, I resolved that I would quit resolving to do things I wasn't going to be able to keep up. That's not a good resolution either. I heard many New Year's resolutions on the radio in the last 2 weeks, and I really should have written them down, because I only remember one. I only remember one of them. I heard so many good ones. The only one I remember because it was so comical to me, and I remember it because I remembered thinking, I bet even Jed could keep this one. And the resolution simply was this: I resolve this year to make better bad choices. And I just, when I heard that, I thought, I was thinking of sharing this message, and I was thinking of Jed, and I thought, I bet Jed can even do that one. He can, he don't even have to work hard to do better at making bad choices. But anyhow, the message that I bring to you today involves a resolution that all of us have the ability to keep, and it involves a resolution that you all should want to keep, and it involves a resolution that pays the highest and the greatest dividends of anything that you can resolve to do. So I'll ask the Lord's help before I go any further. Lord, I need your help always when I'm trying to present your word and to your people in a way that's meaningful and useful, Lord, in our lives and to be demonstrated in our lives to others as we leave this place. I need your help a lot, Lord. If it has everything to do with me, I'll accomplish nothing. But I know that it doesn't, Lord. It relies wholly on you to apply your word to our hearts, Lord, so that we can go forth and demonstrate it to our lives. Bless our time together, and I thank you for the great privilege and great opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message actually is, Let's Get Busy. And I do have a particular scripture text for the lesson. I'll have you stand at some later point as I read it. I just wanted to share or review or go over some supporting scripture to my message before I get to the actual scripture text. I have to try and keep my train of thought and keep my thoughts in order because I am getting better at speaking without a written script, but I still struggle with leaving things out and getting ahead of myself. I guess what I wanted to say here at this point was the message that I have to share deals a lot with faith, our faith in Christ, and our works, and how they collectively need to go together and work together to reap a great reward for us when our lives in this world are over. And some of the supporting scripture that speak of faith and works that I want to share with you to support the message that I have to bring to you today. First, I refer to the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5, which reads for us, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, or I should be reading it instead of memorizing it, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I think I got it right, as poor as my memory is. You know, I was always delighted to know that it did not rely on my works to be saved. Salvation did not rely on my works. Nothing I could do would be good enough or powerful enough, and certainly I would fall short. If it relied on my works to be saved, there would be no hope for me, neither for any of you. However, I'm thankful that Christ done the work for me. Christ paid the penalty for my sins. I'm so thankful for that, that it didn't rely on my goodness and my works, because I'd never make it, and neither would any of you. However, if you skip in Titus 3, chapter 5, only to verse 8, you quickly understand that works are important and they matter, because those few verses later, you simply can read. In verse 8, Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 8, those who believe in God, be careful to maintain good works, for these things are good and these things are profitable. And then, of course, we studied a lot on from the book of James. The pastor did a series that touched on this a lot. The book of James, chapter 2, verses 12 through 20, you will discover if you read and remember, if you remember back to the pastor's series, that our good works are the very evidence of our faith. Faith without works is dead. To say that we have faith in an almighty God and we believe in his Son and Christ and his Spirit lives within us, to say that, to profess a faith, to profess a Christianity and not have it, have evidence of good works, not have a demonstration in your lives of his goodness within you, makes your faith useless and powerless and meaningful. How can you say that you have a faith without demonstrating good works? In other words, if you're professing Christianity, you better be busy. You better be working. You better be mindful to doing good things that are in line with God's word and all of that stuff, I'll just say. And then, you know, one thing that I've heard so much about faith and works, and I've heard so much from both sides of the spectrum about works and faith and what role each of those two things play in our lives in Christ and in our salvation. And you know, and a lot of times you hear so much and you hear so many people's different points of view that it can kind of, in a way, lead you into a conflicting place or a place sort of confusion yourself. And whenever that occurs in my life, now anymore, once upon a time not so, but whenever that occurs in my life now once more, I take it to the one that matters most, the one who can clarify all things for me. So I always struggled with this thing, and perhaps you did as well, and I certainly never looked forward to, and I can't really say I still, even at this time, look forward to my judgment day, but I look forward to it much more so than I used to, because I always struggled with this one thing about my judgment day, because I had heard all the arguments and I had read all the scripture and on the matter, you know, so many times in my life, and heard sermons preached about judgment day and such things, and I always struggled with this one thing. I believe that Christ paid the price for me at Calvary. I believe he paid the penalty in full, not for anything that he ever did wrong, but for the sin of me and for the sin of you and the sin of all humanity. Christ paid the price. He suffered and he bled and he died for my sins. And then not only that, he suffered the full price for my sins. He paid the full penalty. He was judged for my sins so that I wouldn't have to be. And then he raised from the dead, and he went to the Father to be a mediator for me, between me and God, so that it would always be sure and certain that I have a place with him in eternity in spite of my failures and my shortcomings. I always believed that, and then I always struggled with this side of the spectrum that I heard from so many people, that you'll stand before God in judgment. And I always struggled with how a God who casts my sins as far as the east is from the west, to remember them no more. I always struggled with how this kind of God, and how this truth is recorded in his word, that he remembers my sin no more because he cast it as far as the east is from the west. I always struggled with how then, on my judgment day, do I stand before an almighty God to be judged openly? And all of this is brought before me like he didn't really forget it. And I always really struggled with that and had a hard time understanding that. And I took it to the Lord, and he really gave me a peace about that that just really gives me a new thinking about Judgment Day. I actually look forward to it, other than the fact that I have to leave loved ones, and everybody, especially Jed's, gonna miss me so bad if I leave. But anyhow, you know, I always struggled with Judgment Day, but no longer. No longer. It's a day I look forward to, but first, I need to get busy, and we need to get busy. In Romans 2, verse 6, it's recorded for us that God indeed will render to everyone according to their deeds. And then in verse 9, it goes on to read that it will be rendered tribulation and anguish upon every soul that does evil. And in verse 10, we read, it will be rendered glory and honor and peace to everyone that worketh good. We are indeed judged for our sin. We were judged at Calvary. We will be rewarded, however, for our works when we stand before the Lord our God. And I'll try and bring more clarification to that as I go forward. And remember as well, if anything that Pete Carnahan shares appears conflicting to you, don't take it from me. Take it to the Lord, and you'll certainly get the clarification that is necessary for you there. Indeed. The scripture text for my message is a short one, and it's from the last book in the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible. Stand when you've found Revelations 22. If it's not too inconvenient for you, you may stand. If not, stand up in your hearts. Revelations chapter 22, verses 10 through 13. John the Revelator writing as he's wrapping up his account of his grand vision of things not of this world, things that would occur far beyond his present day of living in this world. We read in Revelations chapter 22, verses 10 through 13, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You may be seated. Let's get busy indeed is the title of my message today. And what a greater resolution could any of us make than to resolve to spend not just this coming year, 2020, working harder to do the Lord's work, but the rest of our lives indeed, because no, you could resolve to do no thing in this life that will pay higher dividends than good works. You indeed will be rewarded, as I hope I have clarified to you with the supporting scripture and my scripture text for the message today. You indeed will be rewarded for all of your works. What work can I do? We often say to ourselves, especially as we're young, you know, and we know so little and lack so much wisdom. And then you get old like me and you had a little wisdom somewhere in between, but then you started losing it again. And now I'm less wise perhaps than when I was a child. I don't understand it. But nevertheless, you know, you often the feeling that we have is, what can we do? And we're often intimidated a little bit or kind of have an inferior complex by great individuals in life who accomplish so many good and wonderful and great things for the Lord. And, you know, we think of great ministers of the gospel. Like, to me, it's always Billy Graham, his long ministry of crusades and the individuals that he led to Christ. And I always think of myself, I'm going to be just so way down here, and Billy Graham's going to be just so way up there in rewards when he stands before the Lord. And I really always was hindered and held down from actually accomplishing good works in my life, because I just felt like, how can I measure up to the greats? I just kind of gained a mentality like, I'll be okay as long as I get to heaven. I'll take a shack in the back. You know, that's kind of the mentality that we can gain. And when we think about doing good works for the Lord and not being able to measure up, and who am I? But I'm pleased to tell you the Lord has helped me understand something so beautiful. And one of the things that really helped me gain an understanding of it was to hear the testimony of Billy Graham's son say to me that he absolutely fell to pieces and freaked out with anxiety many times before his crusades. And I thought, you know, that something just hit me when I heard that. This man's no different than me. He's just a man. So, you know, the people that we're often thinking that we can never measure up to and we can never attain to, they're just like you and I. And the most important and the most beautiful part of it is that I hope to bring to your understanding, and that I hope you'll believe with me today, is that we're not measured in the numbers of lives we touch. We are measured for touching lives through Christ within us. Another thing that's been helpful to me is it doesn't matter how young you are or how old. My wife and I are privileged to be blessed enough to sponsor 3 Compassion children. And one of the goals, as you're instructed from Compassion, is to help these poor children from places like Haiti and Africa and all your poor third world countries, help them believe that God is real and that God cares and loves about them. And as importantly, help them believe that they have value and they mean something. And you know, it doesn't matter how young or old you are, God has a purpose for you. If you're alive and breathing yet in this world, from the youngest of you to the oldest, your work's not done. Your work is not done. If you're young, saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can my work be? If you're old, saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can my work be? I'm just old. I'll never forget my grandmother. So very similar to a precious friend of mine in our service today. My grandmother would always say to me, I outlived my husband. I buried 3 sons. What could the Lord possibly have for me to do anymore? She couldn't see very good to walk. She couldn't walk without help. She couldn't take care of herself. She couldn't see the television. She couldn't even read any longer. And her hearing was getting bad. And she couldn't hear. And I would stop and visit my old mem. And she would always eventually lead to that subject. I just don't know why I'm here anymore. Why the Lord don't call me home. And I would always say to ma'am, I would say, ma'am, you're not leaving this world until your work is done. And she would always say, what can an old, helpless woman like me, that is nothing but a burden to others, do in the line of work? What can I possibly do? And I would always say to her, ma'am, we were put here for a purpose. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, have a purpose in this life to touch the lives of others around us in the world. And you can never get too old to do that. I have a dear friend in this building who feels very similar to my grandmother, that she's just a burden and don't know why she's still here, and she's trouble to everybody. No, Miss June Finkenbeiner Yetter, you touch many lives in a beautiful and a wonderful way, and when we have to gather you up and help you out and take you places, it is a joy and a privilege that we all hate to think of being without. Your work is not done, because you have lives yet to touch in this world, and you're touching mine, and you're touching Fanny's, who you once bounced upon your own knee, and you're touching the lives of everybody that you encounter in this life, and your work is not finished, and you will receive a great reward when you stand before our Lord. You will be rewarded for every life that you touched in a beautiful way while you were here. That's your work, And that's your work, no matter how young, no matter how old you are. So let's get busy this new year, not only in 2020, but let it be the rest of our times of life in this world. Whatever way we can see, in any way that we can demonstrate a kindness and a love and a goodness through Christ that lives within us to everybody that we encounter in life, let us be diligent, because there is no higher dividends paid for anything that you can do in life in this world than good works in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And believe it or not, I am finished. I'll read a closing scripture. I like the way scripture closes a lot of times and addresses the saints in its ending. He which testifieth these things, the same chapter we were in Revelations, the final one, verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Lord indeed is coming quickly, and so is the end of each of our individual lives. And when I stand before the Lord to be rewarded for my works, whatsoever I've done in this world, whoever's lives I touched in this world, I want to have a beautiful, it's a wonderful life experience where the George Bailey was shown what life in this world would have been like if he hadn't touched so many individual lives. I want to have that kind of beautiful experience when I stand before my Lord. I want him to say, look at the difference that you made in so many people's lives just because you touched them in my name. Let that be our work, not just in 2020, but what a beautiful and a great resolution. Make it with me, everyone. Let's close in prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, I resolve. I fall short in many ways, not demonstrating you in my life. When opportunities are standing right before me, I resolve, Lord, to try harder. I resolve, Lord, this year and the rest of my life indeed, to try harder, Lord, to do good works, so that when I stand before you, it takes some time for you to express to me how many lives I touched in your name. Help me with that, Lord. And I pray each one in this place shares this prayer with me, Lord. And I just thank you for your word. And I thank you for just giving an ordinary guy like me such a wonderful message to share. I count it a joy and a privilege. And I thank you for these people that you have given me to share it with, Lord. Now bless us as we go forth from this place. Help us, Lord, to take these things that we enjoyed and shared together here this morning, Lord. Apply them rightly to our hearts through your blessed Spirit, and help us, Lord, to go forth then and demonstrate them in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for your kind attention.